Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I thank Him for it. I thank God for all that He's doing. His return is soon. Very soon is His return. And many people are looking for His return, which all of us should always be looking for His return. That's what He said do. And we need to be on the alert. Now, I'm a little different than some. Some people can they're expecting Jesus to come real quick, and I'm expecting Him to come, but I don't really want Him to yet. I want to. I don't know. I whenever He come, He come. But I want to be. I'm more interested in doing what He said do than being raptured out. And when I think about people being left behind, my heart gets sad. And I want people to go with Him. I want people to be informed. I want people to know Him. And so I'm not in a super hurry for Him to return, but nevertheless, I have to tell people His return is soon, because that's what He gave me. And that's what He brought to me, and I have to deal with it. And it's not up to me when He comes, and I'm glad it is. It's not. I just want to do what He said do. So nevertheless, the point being is this: He's coming, and it's going to be soon, and it's going to be swift, and those are the facts. And I want Him to, I want all of His people to get in on what He's doing, and I want people to know Him. It's a shame to know that Jesus is coming and to remain unprepared for His return. When He come back, we ought to be doing His will, loving His people, and fulfilling His word in our lives. The things that's going to happen that John told us about in Revelation, they're going to happen. But everybody that gets saved, it's not going to happen for them. They're going to be out of the loop. And people like to argue when the timing of the rapture. And I believe that John sealed it for a reason. And because it's sealed, I'm glad God sealed it. Because whatever God do is necessary. And I listen to different preachers talk about the rapture and the eschatology, and it's fun to listen to. And I was taught pre-tribulation rapture, and I never had anybody to teach me that seemed to be able to prove it another way. And I met people that said that the church would go through the tribulation, and you know, but I never listened to them make their points till I listened to Irvin Baxter. I listened to him first, and what he said sounded plausible. And then I listened to Pastor David Langford, and his was even more plausible. And he said that the rapture would come just before the seal judgments. You know, when they start breaking those seals and the Lord start tearing up the world. That's when. And I believe he got a strong case. I believe that in God's mind, God put Satan under our feet. Jesus put Satan under our feet. We don't need rescue from Satan when Jesus gave us all the authority we need over him. He told us this, you know, the last few broadcasts I mentioned this about how when his 70 returned, they were rejoicing because the devils were subject to him. Jesus said, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, that's not a big deal. Which also means that we have authority over Satan. And Jesus said in verse 19 of chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, he said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. All of it. So how can the Antichrist appear with me on the ground? How can he appear? He'll appear if I let him, and I don't intend to do that. And I teach people, you know, if you get a revelation of your authority, that's very important. If you have a revelation, if you can realize what Jesus did for you, if it's revelation to you, not just hearsay. When the Word of God becomes revelation to you and you operate on it, you receive it with the intent to perform it and act on it, it becomes revelation. When you hear about it, you've been introduced to the will of God. When you receive it as truth, you're going to begin to have revelation. Now, some people can just, they see it and they receive it and then they act on it. And when they act on it, it becomes what is revelation to them gets stronger. And as you act on it again, your resolve in the things of God gets stronger. You know that you have authority over Satan. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. Jesus gave us authority, and he stripped Satan of his authority and gave it to us. He said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth, and I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy." That's just how it is. And he expects us to use it. If we love God, we will. People that don't use their authority and they become lukewarm, they're on the devil's side anyway. If you're lukewarm, you got to understand, if God he's going to spit lukewarm Christians out. He give them a space of time to repent, but they need to get out of bounds. They need to leave the world system alone and get saved and operate according to the Word of God. The Lord only has hot Christians, people that's on fire for him. The lukewarm Christians, he's gonna spit them out. And this is why. When people are lukewarm, they love the world somewhere. And we covered this a few broadcasts earlier this year, anyway, around March. We covered some things about how the lukewarm Christians are, people are lukewarm for different reasons. Sometimes they have a high tolerance for lust. Sometimes they allow greed. Sometimes they allow pride. They allow laziness, things that they shouldn't. They let it leaven their lives. And I was telling my son just yesterday, and I saw something. A lot of Christians fail in life, or they have failures in life, because they're receiving the Word of God and applying it, except they don't develop a hatred for the world system. They allow the world system to exist without challenge. And that's problematic. Now, John said it this way. He said, "Love not the world." Then he explained the root cause of the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Okay, he could have said it this way. Hate the world system. Not the people. Not the people. Not the people. Hate the lust of the eye. Hate the lust of the flesh. Hate the pride of life. Because if you're friendly with those three things, or any of them, or any part of them, you become leavened, and it will interfere with how you follow God. It will interfere with how you love God. It will cause you to compromise where you don't have to. But as I do these things, I find life to be so much easier. It's so much easier for me to walk according to God's word. It's easier for me to receive what God is doing in my life. It's easier for me to understand what the Lord is saying to me when I receive his word and do it. It's not hard. It's very important. Sometimes we have to take a closer look at the word. Now, the Lord teaches his people. His people want to know him, and they desire to know him. And they want to know him, and they love him. Look at what John wrote again. This is 1 John 2. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Sometimes when you try not to sin, you find yourself doing something, thinking something, or acting on something you really shouldn't have. That's when you run to Jesus. Don't quit. Don't give up just because you haven't mastered something. And the Lord knows what we mastered and what we didn't. Now, I got tired of failure in my life. I've got tired of struggling. And I've got tired of struggling with things that I didn't want to struggle with. I wanted to live according to God's word. And I said, Lord, I want you to help me. I don't know what I'm doing. And then God, he began to work with me. So if there's a problem, a sin, or anything that you don't like, Jesus Christ is your advocate. Not for you to play with the world, but so that you can depart from it. So, and I want, you know, I don't like using my strength because that's how I fail. When I try to use my strength, I don't succeed. I like to win. I really do. I like to win. So I do everything in here. I learn to do things in God. If I'm going to really do it right, I do it in His strength. I say, Lord, I want to hate sin. Help me do it. You can ask for help. He can. A man had a problem with unbelief, and he didn't want to be that way. He said, Jesus, help my unbelief. Help my problem with unbelief. And the Lord helped. He obliged him. Why not just ask if you need help? I don't care if I need help. I just want it fixed. And I don't like having problems. I'm a mechanic. I saw a problem. I saw mechanical problems on cars. I don't see why life, which is more valuable than any car, why should I let a problem exist in my being, in my heart of all places, in my mind and in my body? I don't want problems when I can have healing. We receive salvation, we can receive healing. If we lack knowledge, we can receive intelligence. We can receive counsel, we can receive wisdom, we can receive knowledge. If we're weak, we can receive might. All by the wonderful Holy Spirit. We are fully equipped. And a recent broadcast was called Fully Equipped. Fully supplied. We are fully supplied. God don't run out. We can fight with the good fight of faith at our will. We don't have to bow down to Baal. And we don't have to be dragged around by the world. We can put the world under our feet. Jesus, if whatever Jesus did, we can do. Now, the Lord is looking at, when we listen to Jesus, one thing I learned about the Lord, he evaluates everything. And he looks at us. If we take a closer look at what Jesus is saying and receive the spirit of the word, the spirit of what he's saying, or the spirit behind what he's saying, that's the Holy Spirit, we can get somewhere. Now, Jesus warned his church not to let go of that first love. He commended them for what they had. They knew when people were saying that they were apostles and they weren't. And the people knew that when there were Jews that told them they were Jews, and they realized that they weren't. But they left their first love. He said, keep your first love. That was the theme of what he said to the seven churches. And one, strengthen the things that's ready to die. Fortify your heart. Guard your heart, the Proverbs said. Now, it's also mentioned, friendship with the world is enmity against God. So we can't be, me and the world can't be friends. I love Jesus. I don't love the rudiments of this world. Now, he said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. That's the goal. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our for our sins. He paid for it. and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's talking about the people, not the system. So he paid for every man's sin. And we need to treat people like they've been bought. We need to treat people like they're important. Not just those that are good to us, but the wicked also, the evil men. We need to treat them. You know, Jesus taught us to be good, be kind to all men. Do they deserve kindness? Probably not, but be kind anyway. All men, everyone. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be evil. You don't have to be wicked. You don't have to retaliate every time somebody disagrees. But we can love them, and we owe every man that much. We were bought with a price. We were, the Lord blessed us to come out of the world, even though we wanted to run from him. And so other people, we understand full well that people are running the wrong way. And we need to do what we can to encourage people to come and find out about Jesus and live our life like they're important. Continue with verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Keeping his commandments will take us so far, but you have to keep all of them, not just the ones you like, not just the ones that's popular, and not just what other people do. All of his commandments you keep. Everything he said is important, and if you don't understand something, it's up to you to ask the Lord to help you understand it, because you're still responsible for it. You may not know it, but you are. He that saith, I know him and keep not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. And sometimes I don't understand everything he said. But see, the easy way to keep God's word is to love like he does. Now, you don't have to have all the intelligence you need to master this life. But if you operate according to the living love of God, the love of God itself will suggest to you how to carry yourself, how to behave yourself, how to overlook what the things that you don't have to fight about. So you can keep the law by there's one law, love. It explains that in chapter 1. Now, continuing. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Whoever keeps God's word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So, if I'm going to pull all this off, I'm going to have to fill my heart with his word in order to act on his love. So, that way the love of God, see, the word of God is the knowledge of love. So, and I got that when the Lord was revealing a song to me. I heard the angel singing that, the more we love, the more we live. And that's true. So the word of God is the knowledge of love. The more we love, the more we live. You know, we have to, we receive his word, and then we have something to live from, and that's the love of God. The word goes in, love comes out. Love goes in your heart. The word goes in your heart, love comes out of your mouth. Love comes out of your actions. You display it. You display it because it's in you. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. God's love in you is coming out of your mouth. The world's hatred in you is coming out of your mouth too. If you don't hate the world, you tolerate it. You laugh at its jokes. You think it's all right, but it's not. Now, we love the people, but the world system we hate or should hate. Now, those that love God, those that are on fire for him, they hate the world system. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. If we receive the word of God, we receive Jesus on the inside. Now, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us. He's in there to guide us, but he don't take over. You have to receive God's word on purpose, by choice. And you have to live it out on purpose by choice and not do the things of the world on purpose and also by choice. We believe in our heart by choice, and we doubt not in our heart by choice. And I found out from the Lord that people struggle with healing because doubt can exist in different parts of your being. In your physical body, your thoughts may not be, the mind may not be renewed enough, and then doubt can be in the heart. But since I've been saying that everything that's not like Jesus got to go, or anything that's like Satan got to go, I've been having a much easier time believing God, expecting things from God, expecting what he said to come to pass, expecting the blessings. And I have to think real hard to remember the last time I was afraid of something or worried about something. And it's a blessing. It works. My appetite for movies and entertainment have changed. It got better. I don't desire the things that bring you down. I like the things that build you up. So all this is important. Continuing. So he that saith he abideth him himself also to walk, even as Jesus walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brothers in darkness even unto now. So love is very important in doing the things of God. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But watch this, watch verse 11 very closely. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. With that, if you hate your brother, you can be blind and not realize it. When people hate someone, they can't say anything good about them. And the Lord gave us that when Joseph's brothers threw him in that pit, they hated him. They couldn't say anything good about him. The definition of hatred, we get it from that story. It said they hated them because they could not say anything good about him. You know, when people, that's how I know. That's how you know when people hate. It's in the heart that way. They can't see. The only bitterness comes out concerning that person. If you mention a person's name, if somebody hate them, their countenance changed. They can't say anything good about the people they hate. Now, in the political world, people do that. I hate election years. And I hope that the Lord don't come back during an election year, because some people, they hate their opponents so much, or the people that they don't like. And I believe, I sincerely believe, that if you hate a person, you're not going to hell. I mean, how can you cross the line anyway and go and get raptured? I mean, just think about it. Verse 11, I'll read it again. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. How can, when they stoned Stephen, Stephen said, Lord, Father, forgive them. He asked God to forgive them, just like Jesus did on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He prayed. And guess what? One of the people that got prayed for was Apostle Paul. He was Pharisee Saul, holding the coat. He had enough love of God in him not to throw a stone himself, but he was holding the coat pertaining to Stephen's death. But he didn't actually throw a stone, but he was holding the coat for the men while he did it. But he heard Stephen's preaching. Then he was forgiven because Stephen forgave him. That's what I'm talking about. Stephen, he was on fire for God. He hated the ways of this wicked world. Even though he was being persecuted, even though he was in tribulation. So this is the standard of God's people. Can you love his people anyway? Can you love your enemies anyway? The Lord said to me, everlasting love, to love a man whether he do you good or whether he do you evil. And I walked right on in it. I walked in it. And I learned something from the Lord. And I said, Lord, I don't trust me to live right. Help me learn. Teach me how to love your people. I saw it as important than satisfying pride. I hate pride anyway. I wanted to be like Jesus. And I was about to fail. And the Lord helped me stand. So that was the last fight I was in. So I thank God for it. Not the last disagreement, but the last time I almost got in a fight. Okay. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Little children, that refers to people that just got saved. They're just learning God. They're just learning that way. But guess what? They have known the Father. They have experienced the Father. The young men have overcome the wicked one. They're stronger now. Satan can't just tell them anything anymore. And then the fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Those are those who are older. Not by age. I'm not talking about age in any of these three categories. This is people's level of responsibility. They get the fathers. They've gotten to know the Lord. The young men, they've been in the Lord for a while, and they are actively learning. And then the little children, they just got in the kingdom. Good. So, you know, it's not about the age of a person. It's about their spiritual. Their spiritual age, their spiritual strength. He said, verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Then he said this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this is where he's saying hate, H-A-T-E, hate the world system, not the people. Then he defines it, verse 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you have a love for the world, something's going to happen to your love of the Father. All right, then he defines it. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, number one, the lust of the flesh. Then number two, the lust of the eyes. Number three, the pride of life. Is not of the Father, but is of the world system. It is of the world. Hate it. Don't just tolerate it. Don't just wish it to go away. Hate it. Because it will do something against your love for God. You can't love two masters. The world system is trying to become your master. The Lord is supposed to be your master. In other words, the point is this. We should not let anything of the world interfere with what God is doing in our lives. See, the revelation that we, the more revelation we receive from the Lord, the word, as we receive it in our hearts, the world system runs opposite to it. We don't need it. There's no reason for it to exist. When the Lord gets done with everything, when he gets done with the millennial reign of Christ after 1,000 years, Satan's going to be locked away forever. Everything that's not like God, he's going to do it away. He's going to do it away. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And there won't be any you know, sin is going to be a thing. It's going to be, one day sin will be, all sin will be a thing of the past. Now, John said that that would, Jesus would put an end to sin, and he did. Now, if you, all who want to live in go to heaven, you understand when you go to heaven, you moved away from sin. Sin is not there. You go into a place where there is no sin. We need to reject sin now. Sin is not necessary for our lives. You know, looking back at what John said here about the Holy Ghost. He said, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So being a friend to the world is that's being leavened into the love of the world. When people won't let the world go and they love the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride, you know, they're being suckered in. These are things we got to reject. Not just reject, we need to hate it. How can you reject it if you don't hate it? We don't need to have any love for the world system, only for people. He said, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And there's no reason for it to exist in my members. Now people say that, you know, Jesus said the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, but he did not say that the spirit is willing and the flesh will never be strong. He said it's weak, which means it can be strengthened. You don't have to have a weak